Blog Talk Radio.
Holy name, for this is the day that the Lord has made. Let us all rejoice and be glad in it. And welcome to Pray One for Another. I'm your host, Evangelist Hilder, sitting in for my pastor, Prophet R.D. Wiggins, who is the pastor of House of Manessa Christian Ministries. And we are a church beyond walls. I'd like to first of all take this time to thank you for tuning in. And this is Pray One for Another, Sweet Hour of Prayer, where we pray every Tuesday through Fridays from 6 p.m. to 7 p.m. And at 7 p.m. this evening, our very own Barbara A. Amore will be here to conduct our lesson this evening in Basic Theology by Charles C. Ryrie. So if you would like to join us, please feel free to dial in 319-527-6204. Our motto comes from James chapter 5, verse 16, where it says, confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that ye may be healed. The effective, permanent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. To God be the glory. We are here to pray for you, with you, and right along beside you. Amen. Let us pray. Father God, I just want to thank you for this ministry and vision. And I pray your Holy Spirit manifest the breakthrough of deliverance, healing, healing and salvation through all nine of its gifts, and that this prayer ministry grows in partnership, fellowship, and membership. In the mighty name of your Son, Jesus, we do pray. Amen, amen, and amen. Praise be to God. At this time, I'd like to welcome in the Holy Spirit into the sanctuary, because we never like to start our broadcast or our service without inviting the Holy Spirit to come into the midst of it all. So Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. By Francesca. Praise be to God.
There's nothing worth more that could ever come close. No thing can compare. You're our living hope. Your presence, Lord. I've tasted and seen of the sweetest of love, where my heart becomes free and my shame is undone. Your presence, Lord. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Come
you
praise, God. God of my praise, you are my strength and my song. I extolled you because you have become my salvation. I give you praise because you are the one true God, who is like you among the gods, who is like you in all of the earth, who is majestic in holiness, awesome in praises, and continually working wonders. Only you, God of my praise. You are deserving of my praise and my admiration. Great are you, God, and greatly to be praised. You are to be feared above all else. I ascribe to you the glory due your name and come before you in humble prayer to worship you, God of my praise. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, and amen. Praise God.
Well, come on, put your hands together. If you know you're going high in Jesus, I know I am. Come on, listen.
Lord, I come before your throne with thanks and praise.
I live for you.
I live for you.
I'm lying.
Then he said, I have set the Lord always before me. I bless your name. Come on, let's take it higher.
God, I recognize that being a disciple of Jesus is not easy, but it's the most rewarding journey I could ever take. So, Lord, I pray that you help me love Jesus with all my heart, soul, strength, and mind. Help me know that loving you requires sacrifice and surrendering all my hopes, desires, and plans to you. Lord, I want to be salt and light in this world. If I have lost my saltiness, then God, please restore it. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, and amen. You are listening to Pray One for Another, Sweet Hour of Prayer, where we pray every Tuesday through Fridays from 6 p.m. to 7 p.m. And at 7 p.m. this evening, I will come with a word from the Lord. Our very own Barbara A. Amore, excuse me, will come with our lesson this evening in Basic Theology by Charles C. Ryrie. So if you would like to join us, please feel free to dial in 319-527-6204 at 7 p.m. Praise God.
I am the one who spoke into nothing and all creation heard. I am he who has all power in my hand. And if you believe on my word, you can stand. I am the one whose name is a tower where you can run and hide. I am he who has all power in my hand. And if you believe on my word, you can stand. Him
moment and consider. When God speaks to Sarah at 90 years old and tells her she's about to give birth to a baby, she laughs. But God responds and says, is anything too hard for me? And some of y'all have situations that look like they can't be fixed. But you have to understand that when I am is in the picture, anything is possible. I need you to look at somebody and say, anything is possible. So God says, no matter what it looks like, God says, you're overwhelmed. Body's rocking with pain, but I am. Look at somebody say, God says,
I am.
Let me be who
I am.
I don't understand how I'm gonna get out of it, but. And say, God says,
I am.
Look at somebody else and say, God says,
I am.
Somebody needs another God says,
I am.
One more time, y'all. Tell them who he is. He says,
I am.
I know the numbers are bigger than you, but
I am.
One more time, say, God says,
I am.
Just lean on him because
I am.
You can live here.
I am.
Praise be to God. God of my paradise, of my praise, I bow before the majesty of your glory and all that is due to you. I confess I am guilty of trying to take your praise and steal your glory. Too often I attempt to take credit for that which you have done. I fail to remember that you are the one who shows favor, open doors, and give me the opportunities to experience in my life. I can do nothing apart from you, so you are worthy of all my heartfelt trust and praise. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, and amen. Praise God.
Escapes my mind, the grace you've shown towards me. I just can't believe how you never turned away when I pushed you far away. You're the light that breathes through me. Now I've been set free. The time right. Wrong seems to follow me. I still can't believe
how you never let me go.
How you never lost your hope.
You keep proving your love to me.
And now it is time for our devotional message, amen, which is entitled, In Progress. And the scripture reading for this message is coming from Romans chapter 6, verse 22. And it says, having been freed from sin and enslaved to God, you derive your benefits, resulting in sanctification and the outcome, eternal life. Praise be to God for the reading of his word. Amen. No matter how you have messed up, realize that you are a work in progress. God is molding you into a person with whom he wants to live and fellowship for forever. Because of this, you have the hope that you are not going to be the same person tomorrow that you are today. Amen? Praise God. If you continue to walk with God, you will be more like Christ, with more of his character, grace, wisdom, and power. Your mistakes are not your identity. Who he is making you into his, who you were always meant to be. Jesus is writing his story into your life. He is building eternal value into you, replicating his character, preparing you for good works, and establishing his kingdom in you. So your mistakes are not the end. You are still in progress. Praise be to God. You may not like who you are today, and that's okay. because God is at work in you, transforming you and preparing you for a life you are going to love. Therefore, don't give up or give in to disheartenment. You have every reason to live and hope, live and have hope. Cling to him and trust that the best is still to come. Amen. Praise be to God. I hope and pray that this devotional message is a blessing to you as it is to me. Amen. Praise God. Let us pray. Jesus, thank you for seeing value in me, transforming me, and making me yours. In your name, I pray. Amen, amen, and amen. And that is our devotional message for this evening. At this time, I'd like to play another selection and to let you know that you are listening to Pray One for Another, Sweet Hour of Prayer, where we pray every Tuesday through Fridays from 6 p.m. to 7 p.m. And at 7 p.m. this evening, our very own Barbara A. Amore will be here with our lesson in basic theology by Charles C. Ryrie. So you don't want to miss this lesson tonight. You can dial in 319-527-6204. You can also call in your prayer request at that same number. We are here to pray for you, with you, and right along beside you. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise be to God.
Father, we ask you now, as we lift your name, that you'll dwell among us and be our God, and we are your people. Let's sing it like this together. No matter what,
no matter what,
come on, the problem
may be,
He's in control,
and He knows
yes,
everything.
I have the victory,
cause I have the victory, for He is my King.
In Him I live, I move,
and have my being.
Say it again. No matter what,
no matter what the problem may be,
He's in control
and He knows everything.
How many know that you got the victory?
I have the victory, for He is my King.
In Him I live, I move,
and have my being.
Say like the best of people.
The peace.
Come on, lift them up in here.
Oh, He's in control and He knows everything.
I have the victory,
for He is my King.
In Him I live,
move and have my being.
Say that again. No matter what
the problem may be.
Come on, clap your hands like this and sing it with us.
He's in control and He knows everything.
I have the victory,
for He is my King.
In Him I live.
If
you believe that,
my
sing this with a breath of people. Come on, lift Him up.
Oh, lift Him up, rejoice.
And shout unto Him.
And shout unto
Him. Come on, you call Him.
God of my praise, I give you thanks and praise your holy name. You are good, and your loving kindness endures forever. I will give you thanks to you according to your righteousness and your grace. I praise your name of praise. God, my God of praise, let the words from my mouth and the meditation of my heart bring you delight rather than anguish. Guide me into a lifestyle of gratitude and praise. Thank you for doing that in the days ahead. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen, amen, and amen.
Yeah.
God of my praise, fill me to overflow with gratitude. Give me eyes to see you all around me. Open up my mind to spiritual things. Help me to discern spiritual truths so I can stand amazed at who you are. Refine my soul so that praise becomes my natural response rather than something I'm prompt to do at church. Keep me from subtle sins that distract me from glorifying and honoring you. Set my heart free so that I might receive the fullness of your presence and the power in my life. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, and amen. Praise be to God. Amen. Praise be to God. God of glory, you have revealed your glory in Jesus. He is the radiance of God of glory and the exact representation of your nature. Because of Jesus, I am able to come into your presence with unveiled face and behold the glory of the Lord. I praise you and adore you. Transform me into your image from one degree of glory to another. Your glory is so magnificent that heaven needs no sun or moon to shine on it. For you, God of glory, give it light. And the lamp is the Lamb of God, Jesus Christ. Amen, amen, and amen. And now, it is time for our lesson. At this time, our very own Barbara A. Amore is going to come and conduct our lesson this evening in Basic Theology by Charles C. Ryrie. And we are going to welcome her with a hand clap praise. Amen. God bless you, Barbara. How are you this evening?
Good evening. God bless and highly favored. And you?
I'm a little under the weather today, but other than that, I am doing just great. Praise God.
What's the matter?
Pain everywhere. The swelling, it's like, I can't even describe it. It hurts so much. And today was one of those days. But I thank God I made it through. I did what I had to do today in Jesus' name. So I'm good.
Amen. I'm glad. I'm sorry about the pain, but I'm glad you pressed your way.
Amen. It's all part of growing old. It's all a part of that.
We're going to open in prayer.
Amen.
Precious Lord, it's once more and again a few of your humble servants come together to say thank you.
Thank you.
God, we thank you for waking us up this morning and starting us on our way, giving us strength for the struggle, allowing us to see a new day and to do things that you called us to do. Mm. And we did it, Lord, with your strength, with your ability in our bodies. And we thank you for that. We hope that we encouraged somebody along the way, Lord God, they will get a closer walk with thee. Lord, we love you. We adore you. We cannot do anything without you. We thank you for life, breath, health, strength, clean water, clean house, clean bed, just food on our table, clothes on our back, shoes on our shoes. God, we can't thank you enough. If I had 10,000 tongues, I couldn't thank you enough. As we keep on doing great and mighty things, and Lord, forgive us of our sins, those of omission and commission, and allow us to be a little more patient and a little more kind with one another, Father God, as you are with us. Lord, you are long suffering. Why should we be any less? And God, I pray that the pain that Evangelist Hilda is sustaining will soon subside. Amen.
Yes.
At least some degree. Amen.
Yes.
Even if it doesn't go away, let it subside to some degree. So she'll be there. And we appreciate you for that. We thank you for that. We know that you can do it.
Yes.
Will. Again,
it will be done.
Thank you. you your precious son to be our Savior. Thank you for sending your own son. And all these blessings I ask in the matchless name of your son and our Savior. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. And I receive that in Jesus' name. Thank you, thank you, thank you.
Hallelujah. You're more than welcome. You're more than welcome. And so we're going to continue with our study. Last portion of this is talking about the person of Christ incarnate. And we're in chapter 42. We're into chapter 43. And we could finish this tonight. Might not get to the other one, but we should finish 42 tonight.
42,
yes. So we're talking about Arianism, section C, on page 209. And it talks about a heresy. And what did we say a heresy is? Do you recall?
A heresy, not believed.
Okay, a false belief.
Okay.
Contrary to what the religion teaches or preaches or believes, the heresy that denied the eternality of Jesus as the Logos. Arius reasoned that since Jesus was begotten, he must have had a beginning. Arians held that the divine nature of Christ was similar to God, homoousian, but not the same, homoousian. The Council of Nicaea condemned this teaching in A.D. 325, affirming that Jesus had the same nature as God. And remember, this was a heresy, denying the fact that Jesus Christ was eternal like his Father.
Right.
As the Logos, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was what?
God. The Word was
right,
God.
And the Word was good God. And Logos was considered Jesus, right?
Mm-hmm.
Not considered. Logos was Jesus.
Was Jesus.
So in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God. And
Amen.
That Word was Jesus.
Yes.
Amen. So
Amen.
Let's go on to the next section unless you have a question.
No. No question yet.
Mm-hmm. Apollinarianism. Apollinarius, the younger, died about 390, sought to avoid undue separation of the natures of Christ. He taught that Christ had a human body and a human soul, but he had the divine logos instead of a human spirit. This assumes a trichotomous view of man. This logos dominated the past of human body and soul. This was an error affecting the humanity of Christ. What do you think about that?
This is something that this person, Apollo, how you say, Apollinarium?
Apollinarius.
Mm-hmm. Who was he? He was a writer?
He was. One who sought to, he was probably a theologian.
Okay.
But, you know, we're going to look that up. But go on, what your thought is.
Well, let's see. The young.
Yeah, obviously, he was a teacher. Because he taught Christ.
He
had a human body and a human soul.
Yes. And that the divine, and that Jesus was the divine word instead of a human spirit. He had a divine spirit.
Mm-hmm.
So at least he knew that even though, you know, that Jesus, even though he had a human body, he was still God.
Mm-hmm. And this assumes the trichotomous view of man. What is that?
I have no idea.
View.
Trichotomous. I don't know what that
Hippopotamus means threefold. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Oh, threefold?
Mm-hmm. So I'm going to look up Apollinus. Apollinarius, sorry.
Apollinarius.
My mom.
Okay.
Apollinarius. Tell me just a moment. Let's see. May have to type it in.
Wherever he was, he's not in the dictionary.
Mm-hmm. Oops.
No interest found in the dictionary.
Okay, let's see what we get.
Did they find it?
He's looking now.
They can't find it either.
No, it's slow. Okay. Apollinarianism, or Apollinarianism, is a Christological heresy proposed by Apollinaris of Laodicea that argues that Jesus had a human body and sensitive human soul, but a divine mind and not a human rational mind. The divine logos taking the place of the divine, of the human rational mind. So the divine word taking the place of the human rational mind. Okay.
Okay.
Who was this? Let me see. The meaning of Apollinarius, an adherent of the Christological doctrine that asserted that in Jesus Christ, a perfect divine nature in the form of the divine logos or divine word assumed an imperfect human body with the word or logos taking the controlling place ordinarily held by the mind. So it's saying that in the heresy, which is, you know, false doctrine,
right,
that they asserted Jesus Christ, a perfect divine nature in the form of the divine word, assumed an imperfect human body with the word taking the controlling place ordinarily held by the mind. Okay?
Okay.
So we're going to leave it right there.
Yes.
It doesn't say what his status was. Let me see one more thing. Because as far as I can see, he was a teacher of sort. He may have been a theologian or a priest or something.
Mm-hmm.
But it doesn't say so.
Okay.
Okay.
God bless you, Valerie. How are you this evening?
Good, thank you. God bless you.
Good evening. Welcome.
Hi, Sister Barbara. Mm-hmm. I have this dry cough. Mm-hmm. I invited someone. I don't know if she's on the line yet, but I invited.
Not yet.
Okay.
Okay. Her name is Cynthia Cox. She's a politician and a minister.
Okay. So we're talking about Apollinarius the Younger. He was born in 310 and died in 390. So this 310 AD. Because it shows that it's from a lower. This is page 290, section D,
okay.
Apollinarianism. And we're trying to find out who Apollinarius was. So Apollinarius the Younger was born in 3D and died in 390. He was a bishop.
of Laodicea.
Wow.
Who developed, and I tell you, it's something in the clergy or a teacher. So who developed a heretical position concerning the nature of Christ,
mm-hmm.
called Apollinarianism, with his father, Apollinaris the Elder. He reproduced the Old Testament in the form of Homeric and Pindaric poetry, and the New Testament in the style of Platonic dialogue, after the Roman Emperor Julian had forbidden Christians to teach the classics. Okay. One more thing. Apollinaris denied the existence in Christ of a rational human soul, a position he took to combat Arianism. Excommunicated from the church for his views, Apollinaris was readmitted, but in 346 excommunicated a second time. Nevertheless, the Nicene Congregation at Laodicea chose him as bishop in 361. Skilled in logic, so he was smart, and Hebrew, and a teacher of rhetoric, Apollinaris also lectured at Antioch. Okay? So that's who Apollinaris was a bishop. Excommunicated a couple of times for his teaching. All right?
He was put out the church twice.
Excommunicated. Yeah, that's what he And it was heresy that he was teaching, remember?
Yes.
So contrary to what the religious leaders were teaching. Nestorianism. Nestorianism divided Christ into two persons, though it is disputed whether or not Nestorius himself clearly taught this. He explained that Jesus Christ was the first form or appearance of the union of two natures. The humanity had the form of Godhead bestowed on it, and the deity took upon itself the form of a servant, the result being the appearance of Jesus of Nazareth. Thus, in this view, the two natures were separated, resulting in two persons. The teaching was condemned by the Council of Ephesus in 431. Any thoughts about that?
No.
So,
they're trying to say that he said that there was two persons, which is two persons of the Godhead, or two persons, Christ and the divine, and Christ the humanity.
It's saying that the Christ was a second person, not a trinity, which is God is one, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. This is saying that Christ was a separate person. He explained of two natures. The humanity had the form of Godhead bestowed on it, and the deity took upon itself the form of a servant, the result being the appearance of Nazareth. So this is kind of like the teachings of the Jehovah's Witnesses, and that there was a union. They came together, but this is saying that they were not one.
Oh. So they,
Nestorianism is teaching.
They came together, but they still believed differently?
Were separate. They were separate. Is what it's
separate.
Saying, resulting in two persons instead of being one. And so what does the Trinity teach us?
I'm sorry, what did you say?
What does the Trinity teach us?
The Trinity teaches us that the three Godheads, which is God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost, Holy Spirit,
are one. That's the key, that they are one.
Mm-hmm.
All right? And some people say, okay, that's nice.
so the Father, God, begat the Son, Jesus. So how can the Father and the Son be one if they one came down in the flesh and the other one stayed in heaven on his throne as a spirit, actually? You know, so that's perplexing to a lot of people, and they don't believe that. But the Bible teaches, and there's something I read, too, that it doesn't really mention the Trinity.
Mm-hmm.
The Bible doesn't Trinity as such in words, but we do talk about, especially in John 1, where it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God,
yes.
And knowing that the Logos came to be Jesus Christ in the flesh, God in the flesh. All right?
Mm-hmm.
So section F, Unitarianism. Unit test, circa 378 to 454, reacted against Nestorianism and taught that there was only one nature in Christ. This era is also known as monophysitism. Mm. The divine nature was not fully divine, nor was the human nature genuinely human. So Eustachianism is saying that divine nature is not fully God, and the human nature is not human.
Mm.
And so the result was a mixed single nature. This was condemned at the Council of Chalcedon in 451. A similar error developed after Chalcedon that taught that Christ had only one will, though conceding verbally that he had two natures. Any thoughts about that?
Maybe one of the other ladies would want to
A similar error developed after Chalcedon that taught that Christ had only one will, though conceding verbally that he had two natures. If there's no thoughts about it, we don't have a lot of time. We're just going to move along, okay? If no one has anything to say.
Yeah, okay. Go ahead.
Okay, it is called monothelitism. This was condemned at the Third Council of Constantinople in 680. So this too was condemned. A lot of this that we're reading is, again, heresy. And what is heresy?
False religion, teaching, false doctrine.
False doctrine, exactly. Contrary to the beliefs of the church. So, final paragraph. A study of errors should help clarify the truth and make us more careful how we express it. What does that mean?
Well, it's good to know. God said, I would not be ignorant. So, it's good to know. Sometimes you don't know, or you're taught the wrong thing, and you know, it's good to know the truth.
So this is saying to study the errors helps us to basically appreciate the truth, right? So a study of errors should help clarify the truth and make us more careful how we express it. Semantics are very important in the statements of theology. And what are semantics?
Mm-hmm. The way you say things.
Right. The way things are said. How you put it together. What does it mean? You know? And again, we can put it together.
How you interpret things too, I think. You know?
Yeah, how you put
you
it together.
You can really
come once it's together, you have to interpret what you hear. The way that it's put together, the way it's understood, the meaning behind it, and you know, your intent behind the meaning of the words that you're using. So there's a chart on this page 391 that, you know, we're not going to go over it, but this is just what we went through with this particular lesson, talking about the different natures, human and divine, and the time that it was believed, the church council, their position on that stand. All right?
Mm-hmm.
So we're done with chapter 42. We're going to chapter 43. Talking about Christ, prophet, priest,
fruitfulness,
and peace.
That's my phone.
Please mute yourself. Mute yourself if you're not. Sometimes the work of Christ is considered under this threefold division of the offices of Christ as prophet, priest, and king. I'll read that again. Sometimes the work of Christ is considered under this threefold division of the offices of Christ as prophet. What does that being a prophet mean? Christ as prophet.
That you prophesize what's going to happen in the future.
Foretelling of future events before
right.
they happen.
Right.
You know, Christ is priest. What is that? What are you saying, Valerie?
Yes, some of the prophecy in the Bible is old, have him to come to pass already, and that's still prophecy.
Mm-hmm. We know that. Christ is a prophet, so a lot of the things that he prophesied have come to pass. Not everything,
right.
because it says once all the prophetic sayings have come to pass or been manifested, that's going to be the end.
But nowadays, when you meet prophets, you expect them to prophesy on your future.
Well, that's what prophecy is. I mean, you can't, that's what prophecy is, talking about your future. You're not talking about the present, and you're not talking about the past. Well, to be prophetic means to speak about what is not known yet, what is to come. And prayerfully, the prophecy is God-inspired. It's not man-inspired. It's not something that man feels. It's something that God has told man or woman is going to transpire. And so now Christ as priest, what is that?
You said Christ as priest?
Yes, ma'am.
Well, he's preaches the word of God.
All right. Whatever priests do, right?
Yeah, they preach the word
and more
of God.
Because he is the. What's that?
No, I just said that he just preaches the word of God. He brings the salvation to everyone.
Does he do that?
Well, no, he talks about it. So it's up to you if you want to believe what he's saying. Because there's a lot of false preachers also. So you
yes.
know the word in order to know if they are preaching you the truth or false.
Mhm. That's why it's important to read the word when someone is reading a text.
Yes.
Because sometimes people make mistakes. They leave out words. They leave off the S, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah.
what they're saying may sound right, but it's an error. All right?
Mm-hmm.
So he was a priest. And not only did he do priestly things,
mm-hmm.
he did miracles. He encouraged, he influenced, he saved the believer. And it's the believer, it's not the world, it's the believer. All right?
Mm-hmm.
And finally, what is king? Christ as king.
He reigns over everything. He is King of Kings and Lord of Lords.
Okay.
Yes, that's my interpretation.
But that's what a king does. He's sovereign.
Amen.
He has all power.
All
Amen.
Power.
That's what kings do. They rule. You can't question the king. And
nope.
If you question him, you might be subject to some consequences.
Ooh.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Off with your head.
So, well, yes. Yeah, that's right. So he's Christ is a prophet, he is a priest, and he is a king.
Amen.
So he stood circa 260 to 340, used these categories, so they have great antiquity. What does that mean?
I don't know. Somebody else. Antiquity.
Valerie, you have any idea? Your guests have any idea? What is antiquity?
Is my guest here, evangelist?
Yes.
Cynthia Cox, Minister Cynthia Cox is here.
I guess.
Hello. Hello, Minister Cynthia. I guess I thought you said she was here. She's not here.
She is
here.
Well, it's 917-553 is on the line, so I guess that's her.
Yeah, she's a 917. She must be muted or something. Okay. I don't know what the... Hello?
Huh? Hello.
Hi, Cynthia, Minister Cynthia Cox. Welcome to Pray for One Another.
This is not Minister Cox. I'm just...
Okay. All right, Barbara. So, Sister Barbara, I didn't understand the question. I'm barely following
okay.
that. It looks like you're reading it. Are you reading from two books?
No, I'm reading one book. Where's your book?
I got the book, but I'm not following.
We're
what
on
was
chapter
the question?
Four, that's how you get lost. If you're not following, you got to follow.
I'm listening because I can't figure out where you are. I'm on page 492. I'm on page 292.
Right.
Right. We just started the chapter 43. And the topic
okay.
of it is what I read already, Christ, prophet, priest, and king, talking about the threefold positions of his office.
Right.
Okay? And so
okay.
Eusebius used these categories so that they have great antiquity. And my question is, what does that mean, they have great antiquity? No response?
Antiquity, I don't know the word.
It's the ancient past, especially the period before the Middle Ages.
Mm-hmm.
That's what it's also
like
an object, building, or work of art. From the ancient past.
Okay, so we're not talking about a work of art. We're talking about a thought that is very old.
Mm-hmm.
So in other words, this is not a new thought that he was a prophet, a priest, and a king. According
right.
to Eusebius, this is an old thought. So
mm-hmm.
it's been around for a while. All right? So great antiquity means it's old, it's been around for a while.
Yes.
Okay. Furthermore, a connection can be made between Messiah, the Anointed One, and the fact that prophets, 1 Kings 19:16, Isaiah 61:1, priests, Exodus 30, 30, 40, and 13, and Kings, 1 Samuel 10, 1, 15, 1, 1 Kings 19, 15 through 16, were all inaugurated by anointing.
Amen.
Any thoughts about that?
No. Do you have any
priests?
Yeah,
and one moment, Valerie, if I'm done. Okay. Meaning that all of these people, all of these offices came into position through an inaugurated anointing. What does that mean?
That they had to be anointed before they could become these prophets, priests, and kings.
Right. They didn't just step out and say, I'm a prophet, I'm a whatever.
Exactly.
It had to come through the anointing. So you can't call yourself that. I mean, you can, but then, you know, it doesn't make it so. But you have to have it from God. Right?
Amen.
He has to call. That's why many people say, the pastor wants me to be a preacher or a teacher or whatever. It has to come from God.
Mm-hmm.
All right?
Amen.
Many are called, you are chosen.
Amen.
And if God didn't call you, then you ought not to step forward. All right? So it's saying that these were inaugurated by anointing. They were put into position by anointing. So let's take a look at the first scripture is 1 Kings 19, 16, and then Isaiah 61 and 1, talking about prophets. Evangelist 19 and 16 of 1 Kings, and then Valerie, Isaiah 61 and 1, okay?
Is it Isaiah or Exodus? Isaiah 60 and 61. Okay, I see it.
61 and 1.
Mm-hmm. First King 19 and 16 says, then anoint Jehu, grandson of Nimshi, to be king of Israel, and anoint Elijah, that's E-L-I-S-H-A, son of Shaphat, from the town of Abel-Maliya, to replace you as my prophet.
Mm-hmm.
I'm saying this.
Okay. This is God saying.
Oh, God telling them. Okay.
And you see that at 15.
Yes.
And so read that.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. 13 through 14. Wait a minute. 15 and 19, I'm sorry. God said, go back the way you came through the desert to Damascus.
Mm.
When you get there, anoint Hazael. Make him king over Aram.
Mm-hmm.
Then anoint Jehu of Nimshi. Make him king over Israel. Finally, anoint Elijah, son of Shaphat, from Abel Meholah. To succeed you as prophet. Anyone who escapes death by Hazael will be killed by Jehu. And anyone who escapes death by Jehu will be killed by Elisha. Meanwhile, I preserve for myself 7,000 souls, the knees that haven't bowed to the God Baal, the mouths that haven't kissed his image. Amen. Who's doing the anointing in this instance?
Who's doing the anointing? Well, God is Elijah. He's telling Elijah to anoint these people.
Uh-huh. Right.
Yeah, but
Elijah couldn't do it unless God told him.
Right. So it's coming through God. God is giving him the authority to do what he's asking him to do. Amen. Valerie, you agree?
Val, you still there?
Valerie?
Yes, I'm here. I didn't know you was, I'm just listening. I didn't even know you was going to do that scripture. I'm waiting to do mine. I'm just listening. I don't have an answer.
Okay. Would you read Isaiah 61:1?
Isaiah 61:1, good tidings of salvation. 61, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me. Because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound.
Okay. Thank you. So what do you think about that?
Well, that's a strong hold, and it's, you know, you need the anointing. You need God to go before you to fight those type of battles. And this is actually a scripture I use for prisoners, you know. And I have given this scripture to prisoners to read. This shows the power of God and what the anointing can do. As just human, we cannot do these things. We can, even poverty and brokenheartedness is, you know, a strong yoke. It's the bondage that, you know, it's not easily broken. We need God. We need God. We need the Holy Spirit. We need the anointing.
Definitely.
Amen.
All right, we're going to look at Exodus 30 and 30, Evangelist, and then Valerie gets 40 and 13 of Exodus also. 30 and 30.
40 and 13.
Consider it.
Okay. Exodus 30 and 30 says, anoint Aaron and his sons also, consecrating them to serve me as priests. Amen.
Okay. And then I just want to read, then anoint Aaron. Who is Aaron?
Aaron is Moses' brother.
Right. And he was what?
A priest.
He was a mouthpiece.
And a mouthpiece, yes. Why?
Because Moses had a problem with his speech. And he tried to refuse God when God called him to do his work. And he said, go, Moses, I'm with you. I'll send Aaron to speak for you.
Right. Moses was a stutterer.
Yeah.
All right. And he felt that he couldn't speak as eloquently as God needed him to. And God chose who he wanted to choose.
Amen.
Even though you stutter, I'm using you. And let your brother speak to you. All right. Tell your brother what I'm telling you, and he'll say it.
That's right.
Can't, you know, say it. So then anoint Aaron and his son. Consecrate them as priests to me. Excuse me. Tell the Israelites, this will be my holy anointing oil throughout your generation. Don't pour it ordinary men. Don't copy this mixture to use for yourselves. It's holy.
keep it holy. Whoever mixes up anything like it or puts it on an ordinary person will be expelled. Wow. So God has given them holy oil to be used for special occasions. Not on ordinary men, not on anybody. Don't mix it up. Don't dilute it. Don't, and you know, this is for special.
Yes.
To my glory. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Right. Special. 40 and 31.
Exodus 40 and 31. And Moses and Aaron and his sons washed their hands and their feet. Their acts.
Okay. Thank you. All right. We're going to go on. Thank you to Kings, talking about that threefold position of Christ. Priests, we just read about, and they have to be anointed. Now we come into Kings, looking at 1 Samuel 10 and 1, and then 15 and 1, and 1 Kings 19, 15 through 16. We're going to ask Evangelist to read 1 Samuel 10, 1 and 15, 1, and Valerie read 1 Kings 19, 15 through 16, if you will, okay? First Samuel
10 and 1, and it says, Then Samuel took a flask of olive oil and poured it over Saul's head. He kissed Saul and said, I am doing this because the Lord has appointed you to be the ruler over Israel, his special possession. Amen.
Okay.
You said 15?
Yeah, hold on a second. So
okay.
Who is this being anointed?
Saul.
Right. So who was Saul? Or what did he become?
He became the king for Israel.
The first king. Right. And so who was Samuel?
Samuel was a prophet.
Amen. So that means whatever he acted upon was what he got from God to do, right?
Yes.
So
yes.
God told him to take this oil, which we just read about, that this was a holy oil, not to be used on ordinary people. And so this is that same oil, I believe, that he took a flask of oil, poured it on Saul's head, and kissed him. He said, do you see what this means? God has anointed you prince over his... Wow.
That is...
That is a big... king, all right? Because heretofore, they didn't have a king.
No.
They wanted like their neighbors. Everybody has a king but Israel. Give us a king. So God gave them a king. That's what you want.
Nope.
All right, I'm the king, but if you don't want me, we'll give you a king. So Samuel 10 and verse 1.
I just read that. 15 and 1 says, one day Samuel said to Saul, it was the Lord who told me to anoint you as king of his people, Israel. Now listen to this message from the Lord. Amen.
Amen. Amen. So he, again, is doing what? Samuel is doing what?
What God told him to do.
Exactly. It's nothing more, nothing less.
Amen.
And letting Saul know that it came from God. So First King, thank you. First Kings 19, 15 through 16, Ms. Valerie.
Okay, some of these names I might be a little off, but
okay.
First Kings 19, 15, 16. And the Lord said unto him, go return on thy way to the wilderness of Damascus. And when thou comest, anoint Hazael to be king of Syria, and Jehu, the son of Nimshi, shall thou anoint to be king over Israel. And Elisha, the son of Shaphat of Abel-Mahola, shall thou anoint to be prophet in the room.
Amen, amen. I know sometimes the names are a lot. But we're not used to, that's all. We're not used to.
Amen.
Thank you so much.
I'm the
it
first.
Starts about that. Huh?
I said I'm the first one to agree with that. These names are hard to put
out. Yeah, because we're not used to those names.
No, we're not.
Mm-hmm.
I'm used to the New Testament names.
Some of those are hard too. You know,
true that.
They're different too. Mm-hmm.
That is so.
So, what
true.
Time is it? 7:51. We're gonna stop here.
Okay.
Session one, part A, to be picked up next time. Any questions before we go out and see? Any thoughts? Any?
I have a question. Is it something, before the study, do you want us to read anything?
You can preview the lesson if you want to. Read a page or two if you want. If you don't have time, then that's okay, too. All right?
Okay, so I'll read chapter 43. So
okay, if you have the time, that's fine. That's fine.
Because
oftentimes I don't get to read it either, but I try to take a few minutes to read at least a couple of pages of it before we start.
Because it's not that easy. There's words that we don't know.
Mm-hmm. So that's a good idea. And something that you don't really understand, it would be nice to kind of look it up. All right? Like a word. Understand. And it would only help us, right? Because when we get to it, we're going to probably ask, what does that mean, or what do you think about that? Okay?
I'm always asking you, what is that? What that mean? How do you pronounce that?
Amen. Amen. So
it might make the lesson go fast, and we can maybe finish the whole chapter too.
Well, that remains to be seen. And if we can, then that's fine. And if not, we're not in a rush.
No.
We're not in a rush.
Can't go through this fast. Mm-hmm. This is theology.
You know, we trying to get an understanding of it. It's not a matter of reading the chapter. You know, we just want to get an understanding of what we're reading. And some things we retain and
but
some things
you know,
we don't.
Sometimes mm-hmm. when you get the whole picture, you understand it better. You know, it's like 43 to be like 3 or 4 pages. Just getting mm-hmm. the whole picture of it will make you not, I'm not talking about rushing through it, but being able to see exactly what we're studying in this chapter.
Get more of an understanding.
If we do it at home, that's good enough. It takes our time.
You do it before the before Tuesday night, then that's fine.
Yeah.
That's beautiful. Like I said, it can help us with some of the words if you get to preview it, all right?
Mm-hmm. Right. When I come across words, I don't know. I don't know.
Okay. But it's got scripture in it, so I don't know if you want to look at the scripture. And sometimes you want to, and sometimes it's a lot you don't want to. But whatever the Lord lays on your heart is excellent.
When we have time, we have time. When we don't, we don't. I couldn't even come before, but I had time to do that.
I'm glad. I'm glad you're with us, okay, and your guest. Thank you for joining us, Minister.
Thank you, Tom.
And it's okay. If you don't want to say anything, that is fine. You don't have to say a word.
Right. Also, a politician, she's been on the ballot with these former presidents, Barack Obama, and she's been on the ballot.
Uh-huh.
I'm the only one voted for you, right, Cynthia? Minister Cynthia.
She's not there. She left.
Okay. Good thing. I don't tell good jokes.
Yeah, but we need encouragement. Whatever we're doing, we want to be encouraged.
Amen.
All right?
Okay, we got three minutes, so let Valerie, since it's your treat tonight to pray us out.
Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray. You said where there is two or three, there you are in the midst, Lord God.
Yes, Lord.
We ask that you show up in our lives, Lord God.
Thank you, God.
Father God, anoint us to be vessels that are able to get a prayer through, Lord God, that are able to lead souls to Christ Jesus.
Yes, Lord.
Lord, you did say many are called, but few are chosen. Let us be among the chosen, anointed, Lord God, to study your word, Lord God, to draw souls closer to Christ Jesus, to be a good witness, Lord God, to be good missionaries, Lord God, to be the daughters that you are calling on in these last and the evil days, Jesus.
Thank you, Lord.
Glory to you, God. And Father God, let us be pleasing unto your sight, Jesus. Let us be able to hear those words, well done, my good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a little. I will make you ruler over many. In the name of the Lord Jesus, I pray. Hallelujah.
Thank you,
Jesus.
For that.
Amen.
Thank you for that wonderful prayer. To God be all the glory. So, ladies, have a blessed and a beautiful night and week. Love you.
Again, love you too.
Coming on the line, Sally. And God willing, we'll see one another soon.
Amen.
Okay.
Hugs and kisses. Chico.
Kisses and blessings. Oh, and hugs.
You hugs and kisses. You want to kiss back? Do you want me to take my kiss back?
Good night.
He's wagging his tail.
Good night,
Evangeline.
Good
night, Evangeline. Good night.
Good night.
Okay.
Stay safe. Okay. You're battling, Evangeline?
Huh?
You said you're battling?
No, I told Valerie I have to call her later because she gave me a thing, but she didn't write in the name of it, you know.
Okay, I'm gonna go. I have another call. Accept your iPhone. Love you, Kiki, okay?
Love you too.
All right.
God bless. Good night. Chico, wait, you got to wait till it's finished before I can take you out. Where is the music? Lord, here.
thank you for tuning in. And if you'd like to be a blessing to this ministry, you can send your love gift offerings to Pray One for Another, P.O. Box 596, Bronx, New York, 10468.